Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary, who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with the hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judah again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." These things he said. And after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who is called the Twain, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." So when Jesus came, he found that he was already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1, and our text really is taken from one verse, verse 4 of that chapter. We're in a little series, it's coming to an end, where we've been considering what Jesus Christ is to the believer. Jesus Christ is many things to those who believe. And for those who believe this day, the Lord Jesus Christ is then, as we've said, their shepherd, their brother, their friend, their prophet, their priest, their king, their Lord. And this morning, their life, their life. And what happens is that when a person becomes a Christian, there is one who comes into your life and you come to know him in a very special way. And I wonder this morning, if anyone were perhaps, just to think of it, but not too much, if you were to pass away and someone had to write the eulogy for you, and they would put down, I'm sure, some of the things that we've heard many times. Well, you know, my father or my brother or my sister, they loved family. Family was their life. Children were their life. Grandchildren were their life. Or it may be that there was someone in the community and they write the eulogy and they said, well, you know, they loved their rugby and they loved their football and that was their life. And it may be even those who will say, well, they loved chapel and they loved church. But you know, if anybody wrote that eulogy about you, how tragic that would be. Now, it's a good thing to love your family. There's a lot worse things you could do in life. But if that was to sum up you, it would be even eternally tragic. Because if there was one thing I hope they would be able to say, it would be this, is that they lived for Jesus, for Jesus. And when a person comes to Jesus, let me assure you this, your life will be one which will be blessed in every single dimension. Your family life will be better. Your social life will be better. Your life in every dimension will know something. Where Jesus Christ comes and enters, don't think for one moment he has come to take away your joys. And when a person comes to him, perhaps it may be that you could have the program they used to have years ago. This is your life. And perhaps they'd be able to cut it in two. Before you came to Jesus Christ, and then after you came to Jesus Christ. And it may be not that you led a bad life in any way, but I know this, a life before Jesus Christ is one in which we lived in our aimless ways. Our aimless ways. We got up, we went to bed, We went on our holidays. We did our work. We had our rest. We met our friends. But a life which was filled with little meaning and purpose. But when Jesus Christ comes into your life, I can assure you this, that everything that you do, whatever you are, as a mother, as a father, as a citizen of the community, as a church member, it means something. Because of Jesus, he adds that luster to you. And you'll be able to say, and if I asked you, what is the very pulse that you beat? You'll be able to say, it's Jesus. And he's the apple of your eye. And he's the love of your heart. And you know, this day, there are people in this world this morning which are laying down their lives, being beheaded, being crucified this day, because they see their lives as nothing compared to that which they have come to know in Jesus Christ. And I want to show you just this one verse this morning. It's John chapter 1, verse 4, and this is what it reads. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And a number of things that when the person becomes a Christian and is able to say that Jesus Christ is one's life, it's because of this, of who Jesus Christ is, first of all. He's the one who is the source of all living. You find it there in that opening chapter of John, that who Jesus Christ is, you need to know. He is the one who's always been in the beginning. He is the Word which was with God. And you know, there was nothing, we read here in verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. That you see in the person of Jesus Christ, there is the one now in whom everything has come into being. The very fact that you're living this very moment is because Jesus Christ is the one who has given, and he is the source of all living. There was not anything that lived before God existed. God has always been. He's the one who is first. And when you read these words in verse 4, in him was life, it actually follows on, you see, from verse 3. And without him nothing was made that was made. And when Paul went to the intelligentsia in Athens and he could preach to that world with all its learning, he saw in the marketplace all the idols. And there was one to the unknown God. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to preach to you about. That unknown God is the one in whom you live and move and have your being. He's the one. Without him, there is no life. He is the giver, the source of all life. And when you read these words, it's telling us something, not only about that very fact, but of who he is in himself. That's one of the aspects of the very nature of God. It's wonderful to come this morning because we've got a great God that we can come to know and to worship, and to know him is life eternal. And the one very aspect of God is this. He has always been, he always will be, and in him is life. God needs no one or anything else to exist. God in his very being has everything for his own existence. In him was life. That's not like you and me. You and me, we need, don't we? We actually do need trees to breathe, but we also need food to eat. We need the trees, we need the air, we need the light, we need everything around us, our clothes. We need things that we can't see, of love, and of companionship, and people to speak to us. There are so many things that we need that we could function. You know, in this little solar system that we're living in the universe, we're still trying, aren't we, to find life. Just one little germ. If it was just a little piece of bacteria, if there was just something that there was, no matter how small. And you know that in this world in which we live, how finely tuned it is. Because we need to draw our lives from the light and from the sun and from food and from the things I mentioned. But God, he needs none of that. And in Jesus Christ, he's the one, you see, in his very being. He's the one who met with Moses at the burning bush, and Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me?" And that great revelation, "I am. I am. I'm always. I exist. I'm present. I'm there." And the bush burns, but it's not consumed. Because God does not feed on anything. He is in himself. And you know, there's something else about this which we're being told. This is the introduction to the wonderful gospel of who Jesus Christ is. He is life, think of this, in his very nature. It is not his essence now. The essence of God is light and life. But in his very nature and character of those attributes that he has. And when you think of Jesus Christ, he is so different. God is so different to you and me. When God put that command and said, "Thou shalt not kill," that's a revelation of the nature and character of the God who made this world, is the God who's against death and killing and destruction. And when you read this book and it tells us that there's a God who rules this world, and he says, he desires that none shall perish. And when you think of the very person of the Lord Jesus, do you know, in the very heart of God, there's a word that comes to you this morning, and it's simply this: live. Live. You need to come and you need to live. And it's not a word of death in any way. That's different to you and me. In our very thinking, in our heart, it's death. Death in our members, we're dying. Death in our very nature, in our heart, in our thinking. How we think those thoughts, say those words. If looks could kill, I'd be dead. And if it was, we know it in ourselves. The passions which boil, the things we would like to do, you know, those things are deep within us. I don't know if I should confess this, but it was a strange dream I had this week. Can't tell you what house it was. Can't tell you what it was about. But I was firebombing the place. Firebombing. I thought, wow, where did that come from? I tell you where it comes from. It comes, you see, because that's something of our nature which is in us, and it dwells there. But God's totally different. Christ is different. In him was life. And when he came into this world, in his great incarnation, the great wonderful truth is this. Do you know that Jesus said, he spoke it about himself. He says, "My words are spirit and life." And when people came to him, he could heal the brokenhearted. He could lift up the downcast. He could build up those which were trodden upon. And those who come and listen to his word, blessed are the poor. And they found that there was something of his words which always came and imparted something which was light and truth and grace. And they knew it and they felt it and experienced it. And when Jesus Christ came, those hands which he had were not hands which came and turned a punch, hands which healed diseases, had power over death. And when Jesus came, he was the one, in his very blood, there is life. When you come and you see that life of the Lord in him, it was all in him, in his words, in his deeds, in his dying, in Jesus Christ, it's all life, all life. I just want to say about who he is, because we do, don't we? You look at these words, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light which you're having this moment, which we're speaking about, you know, you can't imagine, could you, a world without Jesus? Can you imagine the last 2,000 years without Jesus? And we talk about someone who comes in to the party. That person was the life and soul of the party. Well, I got news for you. Jesus Christ has come down from heaven. And I'm not speaking of the life and soul of the party. He's life itself. He's imparted it to the whole world. Think of a world which is without him. And in that light, we have our life. And you can't, if you're distant from him today, and you don't know him in any way, and you're not united to him, it's like this. Your life is like a winter, which is dying and decaying, and the roots are drawing back. But now spring comes and summer comes and light shines. And as light shines, life begins to blossom. He comes into the world. As he comes into the world, this is who he is. This is what I want to plead with you about. There's one that you need to know. There is no life without Jesus Christ. This very verse implies it. We're dying, we're decaying. But in him, no darkness. In you and me, death and darkness. That's just simply who he is. But I want to show you for a moment, because this book of John, this is just the introduction. But it actually opens up with the seven great I am sayings of the life that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to bring to people and to give to people and to minister to people. And what you find is this. Now, in you and me, we're dead. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. Although we may be breathing, if you're breathing today, it's because Jesus has given you breath. He's given you physical life. No one lives apart from him. But then what happens is this, is that there is that life which we have, which we've lost, where we're dead before God. And this wonderful gospel comes and it tells us. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole of those seven I am statements which Christ makes, but I'll just give you a flavor of them. Every single one of them speaks of life. I am the bread which came down from heaven. He who comes to me will never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. That wonderful saying in which he has said, I am the door. If anyone comes to me, he will go in and out to find pasture. And he shall have life. And he shall have it more abundantly. Jesus said, did he not, to Mary and Martha at the tomb, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus said to them before he went to that cross, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I just want to speak to you about that just for a moment, of the life that Jesus Christ said he's come to bring. And the first is this, that he's come to bring to you abundant life. That is now more abundant than you could ever possibly imagine. And he makes the statement before the whole world. These statements are true for every man and woman who has ever lived, no matter how rich or famous, how great or mighty, how good your life has been. Jesus Christ has come and said, I can give you more. And I know that you can enjoy many things in this world. I know many people do, and if I ask them now, how did things go? It was fantastic. It was amazing. You know, new experiences, new things I saw, new foods I've tasted. Do you know, I'm living the dream. I got news for you. Jesus Christ has come to give you something far more. And the problem, the thing in the way of living in our world is this. This world never satisfies you. Never satisfies you. Always he leaves you a little bit empty. And although it may be just for a moment to the brim, you know, my pint is half full and not half empty. And we come to a place and we say, but we know that the feeling and the loss and the sensation, these things can never live on that level. Now that's how life is. You come to Jesus Christ this morning, and I can assure you this. He says, I will give it to you more abundantly. I will give it to you full. I will give it to you running over. I will give you life, which you will know, which will never come to an end. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And no matter how impoverished that may be to other people, it will be full. Full every day, full of meaning, full of purpose, full of everything. He says, I've come in him's life. But it's not just abundant life. It's spiritual life. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. You see, the great problem that you and me have is this. Is that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And since sin has cut us off from God, as we've been cut off from God, the great living God, the one in whom we live and move and have our being, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. And what he came to do, and it is incredible, that on that very cross, in which the Prince of Life was crucified, the living one that should die, the one who went to Calvary, he made a way where you could be connected once again to the living God, where sins could be forgiven, where people can know of the blessing and favor of God. Jesus Christ came into this very world to make you once again alive with a spiritual knowledge and righteousness and reality that you didn't have before. And Jesus came and he did that. Everything about him. You come to that place of death today and you'll find life. In the blood there is life, and in his precious blood there is eternal life. And you come to the sufferings of Jesus and you plead his blood this morning, I can assure you there's life which is everlasting. It's great. In him is life, and the life is the light of men. Let me just say to you, the life that Jesus Christ gives, it's resurrection life. Resurrection life. Something that no one else has ever been able to give. That the one who died, because he is the one who is the living one, he's the one who said, I've got power to lay down my life, and I've got power to take it again, and no one can take it from me. I've just got the power to do that. And when Jesus Christ died, because we're going to remember, don't we? Now Easter, the fact that this grave has been conquered. That death which has held human beings in bondage, Jesus Christ had power. And you know your body and my body, it's a decaying body. And its members are failing. And when we die, look, I'm just going to say it to you. We die with shame, in weakness. We die, don't we? It's not a pretty sight to see the body break down and our faculties to leave us. And we're a sorrowful sight in so many ways. Jesus Christ has the answer to your body. He's the answer to that body which God gave you. And the very fact that he took one to himself and he's given life to our mortal members. And he says, one day the Son of Man will come. And he says, all who will hear his voice will hear the voice of that Son of Man. And those will be raised to the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. He's got that power. And you can know of life in your mortal members. He gives that. He gives it. Look, he's the one who gives you eternal life. Eternal life. When you come to know him, this is eternal life, that they've come to know you, the one true God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Do you know you can know that this morning? You can know eternal life, one which will never die, which will always be in existence, in bliss and in glory in heaven and all that. And when the hymn writer says, He is my Lord and my life, we know that. Now look, I just want to just speak to two groups here this morning. I want to speak, first of all, to anybody who doesn't know, first of all, this very life in them. Your living is hard work. You know who you are. There's no spring in your step. There's no real joy in your heart. There's nothing much that you've got to look forward to. It's one foot in the grave, and you're just waiting now for the next stage, and that may not be a pleasant one. I just want to talk to you and ask you, just think of this, because there's something in you that does have an instinct that you want to live. You want to live. You believe that you are meant to live. There's something about that constitution, your thinking and your mind. It doesn't matter what you understand or what you don't understand about the scriptures. You know that in your heart you want life. I was only talking to someone yesterday. I'd just gone out in the town and just bumped into this person. And I tell you what, I don't even know if they believe in God. I don't know if they believe in God. And I said, how's it going? And they said to me, he's gone. He's gone. And I knew, he's gone. It was last week. I miss him. I get down now from upstairs. There's no tail wagging at me. He's gone. He's gone. But then he says, he's gone to doggy heaven. I thought, that's interesting. You believe that there is some life after death, and you're hoping that your dog has gone to doggy heaven. All I know is this. There's an instinct in your heart that wants to live, that wants to live. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can bring it to you this day. He's the only one. You come to him, and I assure you, you will have a life which will be once again what you were made for. You will be connected with God. You believe in him. It will be filled with something not of shame but of glory, and it will be the peace and the joy which you've looked and the meaning of your existence, he will give that. Now, if you're a Christian here this morning, I want to ask you this question. Is Jesus Christ your life? Not is he your hobby. Not is something that you do just once a week on a Sunday morning. I want to know, is he your life? Because that is your praise, your joy. He's the meaning of your existence. You know why you breathe. You know what you're about. And life is filled with you, with everything, because of the very fact is that really the case? Because for Jesus to be who Jesus is, in your experience, you know, it is something which is everything, everything. It can't be anything else in any other way. Now, I want you to think of that and to answer that question. I'll put it like this then, if you find it hard to answer. In your next 5 years that God has given you for living, have you penciled in your next 5 years? These next 5 years, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ, and this is the agenda. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to advance his kingdom. This is what I'm going to be involved in. This is my life. In the next 10 years, I've got a plan that this is going to be lived for him. Well, that's what we're saying, aren't we? Every day that he gives you is a gift from him, and it's a blessed gift indeed. Or if you can't think 5 years ahead, just think of this next week. This week is for Jesus Christ. My whole life is, that's what it's all about. And that's what it should be all about. Do you know, as a church, I want you to think about it. There's something not quite right if people come in and they say, you know that place? It's dead. It's dead. So what do you mean it's dead? It's dead. There's no joy. There's no love. There's no praise. There's no service. It's dead. Something radically different. Total opposite to everything that God's people are meant to be. Because when they come in, they'd experience something that they've never experienced ever before. And they can come and you can know it. And I hope they do know it. And they say, well, they come to this place. And you know what they find? They find a river of life. They find hope. They find joy. They find the peace. They find Jesus. And one day they'll find the crown of life. And they'll find then the Lord of life. And they'll know him. Just that thought for us. This is who Jesus Christ is to us.